is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Get ready, ladies and gentlemen, for Draft Central, basically, over the course of the next 2 hours. Welcome into our day before the draft edition of the Lombardi Line. This show, as always, presented by DraftKings. I'm Stormy Bonantoni, alongside in the flesh, Michael Lombardi.
Yes. Good to be here with you, Stormy. I always love being here with you. Yeah, it is. Draft day coming upon us. I feel like Frank Pantangeli in that courtroom where they're just lies, lies, lies. Everybody's lying, right?
Yes.
But we're going to have some truth coming out pretty soon. That's going to be the best part, right?
We're going to sift through all of the information that's coming out, for better or worse. And I know you and Femi tomorrow, so in addition to what we're doing here on the Lombardi Line each day, you and Femi are going to be breaking down the picks as they come through in action tomorrow as well.
That'd be fun. Yeah, it'll be, you know, kind of as it goes along, we'll start the draft, hopefully. And, you know, we keep saying this, but I think the league has really put a lot of pressure on these teams to not let the draft picks out. In fact, they put so much pressure on teams. You used to be able to, on your computer, during the draft, you would get the picks as they were coming in, as they were turned into the league. But the league now only allows so many accounts to have that service. So, like, not all the scouts will know who the picks are. They're waiting on. So they really cut down the level of information that's being shared until it's announced by the commissioner, because look, they want the ratings to go, and people love it. I mean, they're going to be, it's 45 degrees outside in Detroit, and people are going to be standing there watching it. I love it.
You said too, it's a TV show, right? Let's create a little bit of suspense if we can.
Exactly. That's what they want to do. And I'm happy. I mean, like I was saying to Femi today, when we started the GM shuffle, you know, I in 1981, I went down to the draft. I was a student at Hofstra University well before you were born, and I would go to the draft, and I stood in line, and I met Joel Buschbaum, and it was the draft where the Patriots had the first pick in the draft, and they picked Kenneth Sims, and I just sat there and it was 17 rounds, I believe, and you just sat there it was 12 rounds. You just sat there and listened to it, and I think I left by about the 10th round. It was so long. But it was great because you couldn't get any draft information.
Sure.
And you had to wait. And there were only 500 seats available to the public. So you had to wait there to get a seat. And I met Joel Buschbaum, and I got to watch this. And I thought, all like most people did back then, every NFL team was there running the draft from there. But it's just you send somebody there, your equipment man. I know we used to send Chico Norton from the 49ers. And we'd send Roy Gilbert, who's in a lot of pictures with Coach Walsh, and they would man the phones, and it was just a manning of the phone. It was all the information was being exchanged from the draft room.
There's that element of it. There's also just back in the day when there's a one or two mock drafts that everybody's waiting for. Now everybody and their mother has one online. So what's real, what's not? Let's set the table for all that we have on tap coming up today. We'll continue our division deep dives with the NFC West today at the end of this hour. WWMD, what would Michael do? We're going to go through if you were in the GM's chair for picks 1 through 10, who you would take with those selections. We've also got some great guests slated on the show today, including Adam Burke, who's going to hop on the Progressive guest line with us in about 15 minutes. VSiN's own Matt Youmans had a lot of success betting the draft in the past. He has his mock draft up right now at VSiN.com. And Harry Gagnon, an hour or two as well, former sportsbook supervisor, better host of the Against All Odds podcast in his usual Wednesday spot. So like I said, we have a ton of draft content that we're going to give you, but we also just got a pretty big deal that came through as well. We have a new highest paid wide receiver in the league. Lions wideout Amon-Ra St. Brown agrees to a 4-year, $120 million extension, $77 million in guaranteed money coming out according to Ian Rappaport. So the $30 million in average annual value is now the highest that we have in the league, and the $77 million in guarantees outpaces Cooper Kupp that he had in 75.
You know what strikes me is the fact that, you know how angry I get when these mocks have 25 wide receivers in it, right? And so the highest paid receiver, if this contract's correct, is Amon St. Brown. He's a 4th-round pick. The second highest is Tyreek Hill, who was a 5th-round pick. The third highest is Cooper Kupp, who was a 3rd-round pick. You getting the trend here? I just did McAfee, and he put a graph up, I think that Adam Schefter tweeted out earlier today, about how the positions are evaluated and the success rate. You know the lowest position success rate in the National Football League is, Stormy?
Are you going to say wide receiver?
A wide receiver.
Wow.
So, like, if this isn't living proof, to borrow a Bruce Springsteen line, that there is a real risk of blowing the pick for your team when you take a receiver, especially one. Look, Justin Jefferson was the 5th receiver picked in his own draft class. he was a first rounder, but he was the fifth one pick. He's the best one by far. So I think, to me, we get so preoccupied with we need a skill player. I mean, Tennessee is going through this now. Everybody has Tennessee taking a wide offensive lineman because they need one badly.
Sure.
But Tennessee wants to take a receiver. Brian Callahan wants a receiver because he was in Cincinnati.
When they took Ja'Marr Chase.
And he wants to build outside in, not inside out. I don't agree with that, but that's the philosophy today. And then when you add the layer of evidence that's coming in on who's getting paid and who's not, it seems really hard to understand why you would do it.
Yeah, well, it's funny with Brian and Bill specifically, because Brian's like, I like guys that can score touchdowns. He said that on a local radio station. But then his dad, Bill, of course, is an offensive line guru. Yeah. He would like to build from the inside out, right?
Right. So. Exactly. And he's using his dad. Look, I got my dad's one of the best line coaches in football. True. And he can make good players into better players, which is hard to do. Look at Cincinnati, for all the conversation about Chase, and he's great. Don't get me wrong. But they have a hard time keeping Joe Burrow healthy because they get him hit all the time.
All fair points. What does this contract mean, though, for some of these other guys that are in line? Justin Jefferson, CD Lamb, and even some guys that maybe aren't that top highest tier, like a Brandon Ayuk who's chasing a contract, T. Higgins as well.
Well, I think all of them are waiting to get over the 30. I mean, this is the all the agents that have receivers are trying to get over that 30 million threshold. That's the key. And Jefferson's wants to get significantly over, whether it's 33 or 34 or 32. That's the contract. And I think we have to wait and see what the true numbers are on this deal. But that 30 threshold, they want to break through it. Okay. You know, and if they can break through it, you know, can Ayuk get that deal? Well, he's not as good as Jefferson. Is he as good as Armon St. Brown? Well, they're different kind of players, right? But, I mean, Armon St. Brown averaged 12.4 yards a catch in his career. He scored 23 touchdowns. He's a really good player. He's a really good player. Is he the best receiver in football? No, but he's really good. And I think Ayuk could make that case. The problem the Niners have, and I said this on local radio in San Francisco today, is how do they replace Ayuk? There's really nobody in this draft, once you get out of the top 10, that is as good as Ayuk. You're guessing. And they did this before when they traded Buckner and they picked Greenlaw. I mean, you know, they picked Kinlaw. I'm sorry. They picked Kinlaw. And that didn't work out, right? They ended up giving away a really good player. They thought they got a player of equal value in the first round. So it's going to be interesting. They're going to have to pay it. And all these contracts allow water to seek its level.
Sure. The 49ers picking at number 31 overall, by the way, in the draft. Okay, we have a lot of other news items that have come through. Well, I say news, but they're really headlines. So let's try to sift through some of the madness with news or noise. Roll that open.
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise.
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
All right, Caleb Williams, we're starting at the top. A minus 20,000 favorite to be the top overall selection in this year's draft. That said, Bruce Feldman put out his final pre-draft anonymous scout check-in yesterday with quotes from more than 12 scouts and coaches around the league. And while many of the reviews about Caleb Williams' skill set were extremely glowing, there were some question marks about his, quote, readiness as a person. Some of the quotes, I think Caleb Williams has a chance to be very good, but I'm not sure about the wiring. He gives off a Russell Wilson vibe with his lack of self-awareness, kind of above everybody. I like Caleb as a player, but the locker room part of it concerns me, and so on and so forth. News or noise, hearing this from some people in different organizations around the league?
I think that's 1,000% news, and it's what everybody's worried about. It's what I'm worried about. It's the connectivity between him, the player, and the team. And that's why they sent him out to dinner with a bunch of other players. They're nervous about it. Trust me, someone told me in the league that when they talk to Eberflus, it looks like he has an ulcer because he's nervous about it too. He's nervous because, look, let's face it, the way Caleb has behaved at SC, the way he behaved at Oklahoma, it was never his fault. It was the defense fault, or it was this fault. And Eberflus knows that if they're not successful offensively, it ain't going to be because Caleb isn't good enough. It's going to fall back on him. Accountability hasn't been his strong suit, let's say that. And his connectivity to his teammates hasn't been his strong suit. His strong suit is he's a good player. He's the best quarterback the Bears. I mean, that draft I went to in 81, that's when they drafted Jim McMahon, the sixth overall pick. This will be the best quarterback that they've drafted, including when they had Cutler and all those other guys. However, does he connect? That's the biggest concern.
Yeah. He can't be a hit or miss. He's got to be a hit for the Bears. Former first overall pick in 1998, Peyton Manning said one of his former teams, the Denver Broncos, is very interested in J.J. McCarthy. He said he's impressive to talk to. I know Denver's very interested in him, and it sounded like a place he'd love to come to, but it's a little out of his control. News or noise? Broncos, very interested.
I think J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix fit what Sean McVay want, what Sean Payton want to do. They both are really good, have really good foot quickness. They both have really good their arms are tied to their feet. They have instincts and intuition, which is critical for Sean's offense. And so that would make a lot of sense. Can he get up to get him? I don't think so. But I do think that they're very interested in both players. Yes, I think it's news.
Okay, let's try to get one more. NFL Network's Mike Garofolo said the Raiders are a team that's attempted to trade up to number 2 overall with the Commanders, but Washington isn't moving. News or noise?
That's old news. That's old news. Okay, they've been trying and it ain't working. That's old news.
We all know want Jaden Daniels, but can they get him?
But that's old news. We've known that since Antonio Pierce became the head coach full-time of the Raiders. So that's old news. He's always wanted that, you know, and he's got Marvin Lewis on the staff. So, you know, sometimes this is just we regurgitate an old story and make it, but they're not trading down with him.
Our own Matt Eumanns, who, as I referenced, will be on the program later today, he wrote in his latest article that a source that he has close to the Raiders said Antonio Pierce is desperately lobbying to trade up for Daniels in the number 2 spot. Pierce knows he must win soon to keep his job and needs a dynamic quarterback, but the price move up to 13 would be steep. And is Washington willing to move out of it?
And remember, Telesco has control over all player movement, not Pierce. Okay, so he runs the organization. And to give up a boatload of picks, he's got to get approval from Mark Davis, which I don't think would happen.
He finished that thought with Raiders general manager Tom Telesco is resisting. So there you go. Jaden Daniels, by the way, minus 475 to go to the Washington Commanders, plus 400 to the Patriots, plus 500 to the Raiders. We're going to hit our first break of the day. Adam Burke joining us next. We'll get the lowdown on all of the draft content we have available at VSiN right now. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the start of the play-in tournament all the way through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code VSIN. New customers that do can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's VSIN, V-S-I-N. Use the code only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. And good news, Michael, there are two NBA games on tonight that people can use this on. The 76ers aren't one of them, so you can breathe tonight, which is great.
I've been breathing the whole time. I never was in doubt. I mean, I never was. The other night, I was completely composed. I was fine. It was all good.
Did you see the 2-minute report? Did that make you feel better or worse about game 2?
I don't know why the NBA would admit that they blew the calls, and yet they're not suspending the crew. Like, what good is that? Like, because there's just admitting you're wrong doesn't make the 76ers 1-1. You know, it doesn't. So, like, what's the point in admitting you're wrong? We all know you were wrong. I mean, you don't have to admit it. We all know.
Like, do you just want us to say we appreciate the transparency? Yeah, like this did nothing to win them the game now.
Why wouldn't you just say, okay, that crew is no longer going to officiate any of these games moving forward because of their incredible. I mean, they're grabbing Maxie's jersey. Come on. And I mean, Nurse is over there calling timeout. Nobody's paying attention. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, you know, who deserves the credit for that game is the Garden. And we talked about this on Monday about the atmosphere at the Garden, how electric it is. I think the officials got caught up in the feeling of the Garden. Mm. I mean, it really did. I mean, it was unbelievable. I loved watching it, seeing the celebrities all along the court there. And, you know, Sting was in the front row. Yeah. I mean, Sting looked great. It was awesome.
76ers are a 4.5-point favorite, by the way, coming up tomorrow.
Get out of here. Really? They're a 4.5-point favorite?
Just saying.
Oh, I'm taking the Knicks in the points.
So I wanted to get you fired up a little bit because I'm looking at the way that you have laid out the players and positions that you would pick early in the draft. Yeah. And one of them gets me fired up. So this will be fun.
I can see it.
So we're going to do an exercise here. WWMD, what would Michael do? Obviously, he has sat in that chair as a general manager, making these decisions in the past. You know all about these prospects. You've watched tape like crazy over the last couple months getting ready for this. At number 1, the Chicago Bears are on the clock, Michael. Who are you taking at number one overall in the 2024 draft?
Well, I would take Caleb Williams because he is the best quarterback. Now, it comes with some concerns we talked about in the last hour about his connectivity to the team and his ability to be a little different. It's good. It's okay to be different. Dennis Rodman was different. But, you know, there was some connectivity to the team. I think that's the only concern that you have in this situation.
And the minus 20,000, like we referenced off the top of the show as well, speaks for itself.
Is somebody going to bet 20,000 to win $100 or something? I mean, come on.
And like let's say you wanted to place a $100 bet, $100 bet, throw that on Caleb Williams to go number one overall. You win 50 cents, Michael. It's ridiculous.
I mean, it's so ridiculous. Like, I don't even know why. I mean, if I were just take it off the book.
We talked about a lot of those quotes, too, that came from the Bruce Feldman article of like the anonymous scouts and stuff. And one that I didn't mention earlier that I did also find interesting was that he's got to work on some things from the pocket, and that takes discipline and that takes humility. I just wonder if he has that, but finished his thought saying if he can figure those things out, he will be elite. Right. And I think that's the thing.
And I think coachability is the key word of this of this era we're living in today. A lot of these players are not coachable. It goes back to, you know, the anxious generation where they take coaching as criticism as opposed to, you know, because this is such a phone generation, not a playground generation, that they're not used to being coached hard. And he hasn't been. And so I think that's got to concern you a great deal. If he can get over that hurdle, if he's willing to take coaching like Patrick Mahomes is, which leads me to my next quarterback.
All right. So the Washington Commanders will be picking at number two overall because we know that the phone has been ringing, but they are not answering it. They want to use that pick on their guy. If you were in the room, Michael, let's do this both ways. Who would you take with the pick? And then also, what are you hearing with
I think it's Jaden Daniels, but I think I would take J.J. McCarthy. And here's why. And
so this is why I'm fired up. So why? You are. I'm so curious.
Because, the reason I've gravitated towards McCarthy is because I think he is really coachable. Sure. I think he's willing to do what the offense has asked him to do. I think he's smart. I think he connects to his team. I think he's a good athlete. I think he can make all the throws that you need to make. And everybody says, and Femi said this, what's the special trait? Well, the special trait is coachability, to doing what you want him to do in the offense. That's the special trait. It's not he has this electric arm or he can make every throw. Joe Milton's special athletically. He just isn't special in instincts and intuition. And I think that's where I think McCarthy, his third down tape is really good when you watch him. He's got good rhythm. His arm is attached to his feet. And if you want to run an offense with some under center and you want to run the football and you want to do the things that all quarterbacks need to do, I think McCarthy gives you the best opportunity to execute that.
And he has, like, he's even talked about going back to high school because he wasn't an offense that threw the ball a lot in high school, that when he got to Michigan, it was a really big learning experience for him to understand that this isn't about me.
Right.
This is about the team. And he's a very impressive guy. There's no question. Like, the intangibles are there. He's a winner. He's a competitor. He's a leader. He's a light in every room that he walks in. All of the things that you hear about him are true. Number two overall.
Well,
though,
I mean,
Michael,
remember, Stormy, it doesn't matter how they play. It doesn't matter where we pick him. It matters. Like, okay, Sean Payton picked Tony Romo, signed Tony Romo in Dallas as a free agent. Now, it would have drove Mel Kiper insane if the Cowboys would have picked him in the first round, but it would have been a great pick.
No,
it would have been a great pick. It's where they, how they play. The next one, I gave the Patriots Jaden Daniels. And I would pick Jaden Daniels if I was New England. And here's what I would say about New England. They're picking a quarterback. All this nonsense about them trading down, they might, but they're going to trade down to know they're going to get a quarterback. They're picking a quarterback. They're not coming out of this draft without a quarterback. And unless they get Jonathan Kraft, who is essentially overseeing all football operations in the building, Elliott Wolf, they want my favorite word of all time, collaboration. They want to collaborate. They're collaborating with Jonathan Kraft leading the charge.
Okay.
And so unless – and his father and he are running the team, and they want a quarterback, and they're going to get a quarterback. They want a face of the franchise. They're going to get him. And if they get the guy that they want at three, they're going to make the pick.
By the way, from an odds perspective, Jaden Daniels is now minus 550 to go number two overall. If you did think that they could take a flyer on McCarthy, 11-1, Drake May plus 425. And then when it comes to the Patriots, Jaden Daniels plus 400 to be the pick to New England. The Raiders also sitting there in his odds board at 5-1. Arizona Cardinals on the clock at four. Do you think they trade out or they take a wide receiver?
They're going to have a great opportunity to trade out. I think if they stay there, they'll take Marvin Harrison. I would take Neighbors. Okay. But I think if they stay there, I don't think they're going to stay there. I think they're going to get enough to move around. And look, I think at the end of the day, you know, it may not have to be a boatload. I think they would rather move and get more picks than it would be for them just to stay there and make the pick, because they know they could get a good player somewhere else and they need more picks. Their team isn't good enough. I mean, Harrison's a really good player. Everybody I talked to, Christopher Sims, was saying the same thing. They all seem to like Neighbors more in the league. That seems to be the consensus in the league over Harrison. We'll see if it happens. I get the feeling that knowing Monty as well as I do, he'll pick Harrison. It's safer. It's cleaner. Yeah. But I think Neighbors is the better player.
The first non-quarterback off the board market has shifted more in the favor of Marvin Harrison Jr. over the last couple of days. He's now minus 1,000. Malik Neighbors, 7-1. He's also 18-1 to go number four overall. Malik Neighbors, that is. Number five, the Los Angeles Chargers and Jim Harbaugh's first opportunity in L.A.
Well, I think they'll take an offensive lineman. I think they'll take Joe Alt. And I think that's what they should do. You know, there's some speculation he could take McCarthy, a quarterback. Look, I think if he was going to do that, you would prepare yourself to trade the quarterback that you have, and you're going to get a boatload of players if you want to do that. I can't imagine. That's too much money you've already invested. It's like, it would be like the Cardinals taking a quarterback after they invested all this money into guaranteed money into Kyler Murray. So they need offensive linemen. They need defensive linemen. Mm-hmm. Knowing Jim, this isn't about filling needs. This is about building a team. And I think you start building teams inside out and you pick an offensive lineman.
So this is one you think's a fit both ways, because if you were sitting in the chair, you like Joel as the pick as well.
I like it. I like taking an offensive lineman. I like a left tackle. Now, I know they have Slater at left tackle. You can play him over at right tackle. You need good tackles. What you don't want to be in the National Football League is tackle poor. Mm.
For the Chargers to take an offensive lineman, the price minus 175 right now. I know in a lot of mocks, there are still people putting a wide receiver there. That's plus 200. Joe Alt specifically to go top five, plus 350, plus 360 to go number five overall. His draft position still set at 7.5, and it's juiced to high heaven to the under, of course, but like still sit at 7.5. That was a little bit surprising to me, yeah. Especially considering how much we do anticipate if the Chargers use the pick that they would go all.
You know, I think to me, there's so many good tackles. I think the reason they probably put that number at seven is because I don't think people have a real true idea of who is the best tackle, right? Could it be J.C. Latham? Right. He could be the best tackle. Mm-hmm. I think everybody's board slightly different. And so I think they're couching it. I really do.
That was the one, like, for all the smoke screens that we have from different GMs and coaches talking, Jim Harbaugh, the way he talked about the offensive line and its importance, that was real.
He wasn't lying.
Yeah.
He wasn't bluffing. Because that's who he is.
Yep.
That's exactly who he is.
We're going to take a quick timeout, resetting hour two of the Lombardi Line next. What's going on in Dallas? Jerry Jones had something to say. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Experience the thrill of the NFL draft with VSiN's exclusive coverage coming up tomorrow, starting at 6 Eastern with VSiN Primetime. Our hosts Tim Murray and Jonathan Von Tobel, as well as special guests Mike Golic Sr. and Jr., will have a deep dive into all the draft prospects and their predictions. Stay locked in for a special edition of the GM Shuffle as well at 8 Eastern, where our guy Michael Lombardi and Femi Abebefe bring you real-time analysis of those first-round picks. Michael's giving out his thoughts on every draft pick and trade as it happens. You won't want to miss it. Watch this special of the GM Shuffle on VSiN and DraftKings Network, as well as VSiN's YouTube page, and then cap off the evening at 11 Eastern with VSiN Tonight, where they'll wrap up the first round action. Our guy Matt Eumanns, you can also find his mock draft right now at VSiN.com/draft. And I feel like this is just the smoothest transition of ever that we've ever. And then, of course, I'm messing it up verbally. Great.
No,
Matt Eumanns is on the line. If you heard that laugh after he just told me in the commercial break that I better get this right. Matt Eumanns, welcome in. How are we today?
Hey, doing well. Watching NFL Network, listening to Stormy and Michael. What could be better on the eve of the NFL draft?
Yeah, it is good. If you're watching NFL Network, you're not watching us, though. I mean, that's the problem. I mean, we're not over there.
Matt's got multiple screens. Multiple screens.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
I can listen to your show and watch NFL Network.
I bet you're getting well informed.
He mutes him. He's a genius.
I got it. I love that. All right. So are you buying the six quarterbacks in the first round there? Because I certainly am.
You know, I worked on my mock draft 8 days ago, so it's out there a little bit. I still feel pretty confident about most of it. Now, I felt good about pretty good about five quarterbacks most of the way. I read I read your column on VSiN.com overnight after Bill Ady teased it in the newsletter, and I saw your paragraph about six quarterbacks. The one player I've doubted the whole time in terms of quarterback is Bo Nix. Is he going to be a first rounder? Michael, and I called you before I was working on my mock draft, and we talked about Michael Penix and a team that would probably take him in the 20s, and I agree with that. I wonder who's taking Bo Nix late in the first round. So I feel pretty good about five. I'm not as confident in six, but if you've been informed that somebody says Bo Nix is going to go in the back end of the first round, I'm not going to argue that. I could see it happening, but that's the one quarterback I've questioned in that group the whole time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, Stormy, I think beauty's in the eye of the beholder, right, Matt? And all these quarterbacks have issues, including Caleb Williams. None of them are as the worldwide leader would lead you to believe, generational. You know, they're good players, but I think we've extended over our skis a little bit in terms of their quality of their play based on college. So, look, I do know this, that coachability and fit within the offensive framework is the words that I keep hearing that fit for Bo Nix. Now, he doesn't throw the ball down the field, all those things, but he protects it. I think it only takes one. And, you know, based on my sources, I think there is a couple teams that like him that would trade back into the first or maybe even pick him. And, again, it really only matters how they play. It doesn't matter where we see them picking him. And I think that's where this whole draft process is wrong. I said this to Stormy. If Sean Payton would have picked Tony Romo when he was in Dallas in the first round instead of getting him as a free agent, everybody would have killed the Cowboys. They would have said they're idiots. But he ended up being the best player in their draft that year.
Yeah, and don't forget that the 49ers traded up and traded a boatload to get Trey Lance and took Brock Purdy with the last pick of the draft. And that was a very poor draft class for the 49ers, except it got salvaged by the last pick of the draft. So that can make all the difference. I'm just trying to figure out what the right fit is for Bo Nix and which team towards the end of the first round would take him. And I think the Broncos make the most sense, but we'll see how that works out. Yeah, when you're working on a mock draft, it's about what you think the teams are doing, not what you would do. And you always have to keep that in mind, obviously.
Yeah, which I'm sure can be hard to separate yourself sometimes. Matt Youmans, host of VSiN Tonight, weekdays on the network here, 8 to 11 local. Article up again at VSiN.com. Right now, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. So in addition to your mock draft, though, you also have laid out all of your best bets, I believe 10 of them here. Do you have one or two that you feel like the most confident in, that when you got the information, you see the way things shake out, that you think, okay, yeah, this is for sure going over or under in terms of position?
For sure.
I mean, okay,
I feel pretty confident in some of them, and you know, those aren't all my best bets. Those were my best bets at the time. Like I said, that was 8 days ago. I've probably got over 20 bets now, but a lot of the bets are on draft positions because you have a market out there with different different numbers on the draft positions at different books, and there were some pretty good numbers up there for me to grab on some players I liked. I did take Brock Bowers over 11.5, and that's an interesting one to me because a lot of people are mocking the Georgia tight end to the Jets at 10. I don't think that's the Jets' need at 10. I think they have to go offensive line with that play, with that pick. And I also played the Jets' first pick to be an offensive lineman at plus 120. And I could see Bowers falling to a team like the Broncos at number 12. That's a toy that Sean Payton could work with in his offense. Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback from Toledo, I played his draft position over 13.5. That's one of the ones I like the most. Also, let's see. I'll give you a few more. I played J.J. McCarthy over 5.5 draft position of plus 135. Hmm. And I'm going to throw this one at Michael because I know it doesn't make sense to me, and it probably doesn't make sense to Michael. I'm just trying to figure out who would take J.J. McCarthy in the top five. the more I sit down and look at it, I said, okay, the Patriots probably not going to do it at 3. As Vikings trade up to 3, they're probably trading up for Drake May. Maybe the Giants take McCarthy at 6, but hey, that's over 5.5. That's one I like, and that's one I bet here in the last 36 hours is McCarthy over 5.5. Michael, what do you think of that one?
Well, I think that makes sense. I think he is really has moved up a lot of boards, and I think that, you know, you can't predict. I think the Giants certainly could be in play. They're trying to move up for somebody, whether it's Drake May. Now, could they be trying to move up to 4 to get Marvin Harrison? I don't see that, but, you know, Harrison fits what they do. But they're telling people privately they want to move up to get a quarterback. Same thing with Minnesota. Minnesota wants Drake May. I think that's the guy that they do want. That's what they're telling people, so we'll see. You know, I think that the one I like the most, Matt, and obviously I'm not a betting man, so I don't bet. I mean, I like the Bo Nix going over 32.5. I really like that one. I talked about that in my draft. But I like Byron Murphy to go in the – I think today – I looked at the DraftKings since I'm here. I think it's 15.5 in the first round, and I think he's going to be a top 10 pick. And he's starting to gain some momentum now. And you have him going 9 to Chicago. I think he goes 8 to the Atlanta Falcons. And I think ultimately, I think you're right with the Tennessee Titans taking a receiver, even though I think they need an offensive lineman.
Yeah, Byron Murphy under 16.5 is another draft position play I made there because I think he's got a decent shot to go in the top 10. So under 16.5, had to lay a little bit more juice on. I wanted to around 180 on that one. But Murphy's a 300-pound run stopper. You know, there are some comparisons, and these are always a stretch. But he's been talked about in the Aaron Donald terms, which is he's not going to be Aaron Donald. But if you're trying to make a comp to some players, that's what some draft analysts have made the comp to. Yeah, so I think there's a pretty good chance that Byron Murphy goes under that number of 16.5. And again, for those who don't know the draft position, how that draft position stuff works, if it's over 16.5, that means 17. Under 16.5 means 16. And some do get confused on that. I'll say this. In my mock draft, I got Rome Odunze, the wide receiver from Washington, going one pick ahead of Malik Nabers, wide receiver from LSU. And if I had to do it over again, I would flip those because the more I read about scouts' opinions and what the NFL thinks of the two wide receivers, it sure looks like Malik Nabers is going to be the second wide receiver off the board, not Odunze from Washington. And that's one thing I would flip a little bit there. I know there are a lot of scouts that like Nabers a little bit better than Marvin Harrison.
Yep, that's
and,
true.
You know, though I don't think Nabers are going to go before Harrison, that's something you have to keep in mind. What happens in this draft almost every year is there is a pick in the top 10 that makes you almost fall out of your chair, if not fall out of your chair completely. I can remember the one I'll never forget is 2019. We were at the VSiN studio at the South Point during a live draft cast, and the Raiders at number 4 took Cleveland Ferrell, defensive lineman from Clemson, and I seriously about fell out of my chair.
I did too.
2 picks later, the Giants took Daniel Jones, quarterback from Duke, at number 6, and nobody had mocked those two things. I could give you an example from a draft every year since 2019 of picks like that, but there's going to be probably a major surprise in the top 10 that nobody saw coming too.
Yeah. He's right. He is right. I mean, if you take Daniel Jones at 6, why wouldn't you take J.J. McCarthy? I mean, like, it's a better player. I mean, again, it's how they play, not where were they picked.
No question about it. Matt, you're awesome. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Matt. See you tomorrow,
okay,
Matt.
Thank you,
looking
Matt.
Forward
Thank
to
you.
It. Bring the pizza, Matt.
Okay. Sounds good.
Follow him on X at MattEumans247. And, of course, like I mentioned, check out the article on VSiN.com right now with his draft projections and best bets for round one, a handful of them. The Brock Bowers one I did find particularly interesting. I just keep questioning, like, are the Jets going to mess this up and not get more offensive line depth?
Yes,
are they
going to
go?
Yes,
are they going to go for the flashy player?
Yeah, they are. Sure they are.
This
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament last week all the way through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use our code VSiN. New customers that do, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSiN, V-S-I-N, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Question. Maybe a stupid one, but I'm just spitballing here.
Can it make you say why not?
That wasn't a stupid question.
It's time for Why Not Wednesday.
I mean, why not?
You know when they say it's so crazy it just might work?
And we're doing Why Not Wednesday today with a little twist, because usually we're looking at long shot odds. Could you say why not to them hitting? But we just have so many draft related questions that we just need Michael's opinion on these things. So starting with the Arizona Cardinals, who are sitting at pick number 4 overall. We've talked a lot throughout the show today about how Monty Austenfort kind of can do whatever he wants here. He can accept trade propositions. He can stay there and take a top tier wide receiver. So could you say why not, Michael, to the Cardinals just saying, no, we're going to keep this number 4 pick and get the best guy on the board?
No, why not here? I think they're determined.
They need a trade.
Yeah, they want more picks.
Okay.
I think they want more picks, and I think, you know, they're waiting for a haul, and no one's been willing to give them a haul yet, but that doesn't mean they won't. They know they have Minnesota desperate. They know they have the Giants. They know they could have the Raiders. I don't think they pick here. I would not say why not. I would say they make the pick, because I just think they feel like they need so many other positions that they can improve their team by adding more draft picks.
How much do you think will be dependent on which quarterback is available at that spot?
I think that's a great question. And, you know, I think that's where they can't get what they want right now. And if it's May, then, you know, if you're Monty, you might have hit a home run, because you know Minnesota wants to come up to get May. And there's talk that's who the Giants want. Mm-hmm. So that's why there's not going to be a trade made before the draft. I don't believe so, because you don't know who you're trading to.
Mm-hmm. One team that has been rumored to potentially be trading up for a quarterback, or could just grab one, where they currently sit at number 12, is the Denver Broncos. Could you say why not to them leaving the first round without a quarterback?
No. The Broncos are picking a quarterback. I think the Broncos want a quarterback. I think they know who they want. I think they know who they like. The Zach Wilson thing, and he thanked the Jets thanked him for his contributions. I just want you to know.
What was that? There was not a single reply or quote tweet that was positive. Why even do that to the poor kid?
Why do that? I mean, let's let him just slink
Thank
out of
you
town.
For what?
Slink out of town quietly. I mean, why did you have to thank him?
Ay.
He should be thanking you. I think that has no relevance at all. You know, I think that Sean Payton knows. See, here's the issue for Sean Payton. He doesn't have a second round pick. Okay. He can't get to 33. He can't get to 34. He can't get, I mean, unless he trades away next year's one, and those teams are kind of don't want to do that. So he's going to have to get up there. And for him to get up there, you know, why, if you like a quarterback, maybe you trade down. Or just pick the guy. If you have conviction, just pick him. Who cares what Mel says? Who cares what I say? Who cares what anybody says? You have a track record of picking good quarterbacks. You know quarterback talent. Pick them.
And probably after having Russell Wilson thrust upon him and now still having to pay that contract out, he wants his guy.
Exactly.
So yep. Makes too much sense. How about this one? Could you say why not to more than one defensive player being taken in the top 10?
Why not? I think the corner, Mitchell, is really, I think there's this corner market has been really misaligned by the mockers. The Alabama corners, and if you talk to anybody at Alabama, if you watch Alabama tape, they're not shutdown corners. Okay. There's really, maybe it's the Mitchell is and Wiggins from Clemson. So for me, you know, if you want to get a corner, I could see the 10th pick being the corner. I could see Philly trying to trade up to get to 12 or trade up to get that corner. Hey, I could see Philly trading with Denver to get the corner, and Denver goes back to Philly at 22 and they get Bo Nix there. I could see that easily happen.
In the mocks, I feel like there's been a lot more love for defensive linemen and D tackles and edge rushers than there has been corners. But I mean, a couple really, really talented guys that could be taken earlier. How about this one? More offensive tackles to be taken in the top 10 than wide receivers. Both positions considered to have a lot of talent, a lot of depth, but wideouts certainly the stars of the show, right? You know they want to take 25 of them in the draft. Can we get more in the top 10?
And there's 27% success ratio on taking them. Yeah, it does. Yeah. I would say this, because I believe Tennessee is going to take a receiver, I wouldn't say why not to that. Yeah, I truly believe they're going to take a receiver. Because Brian Callahan believes that you build a team outside in. And he's got his dad as a luxury. He feels like my dad will make every player better, which is true. I agree with that. But you can't control the game. And so if they pass, I think they'll pass. I think they'll take Ndunze, they'll take Neighbors, or they'll take whatever receiver makes it to them. I think it's just one of those three. I don't think it'll be they reach for someone else.
You'll get a nice plus money price on them to take a wide receiver right now. I think it's like minus 310 for offensive line for Tennessee. So Michael Penix Jr., could you say why not to him becoming a top 10 quarterback in his NFL career?
Yeah, I could say why not to that. And here's why. I think he throws the ball really well. He's smart. He makes good decisions. He's a pocket passer. He's got an arm that can reach anywhere on the field. And if he goes to the right team with the outside receivers, he can really do damage. He throws the ball inside better than Jaden Daniels does. Jaden Daniels only throws it outside or runs with it. I mean, that's what he does. He's a good player. But Jaden Daniels has over 1,000 yards rushing, Stormy, and a lot of that is because when the play breaks down, instead of making a second play, he just takes off and runs. So I like Penix. I'm higher on Penix than I think a lot of people. I really like Penix. I've said this about Penix since the first time I saw him, that Al Davis, would be his quarterback because he's big and he's got that arm and he throws the ball with great accuracy on the third level.
So with speaking of the Raiders, they obviously have one of those early picks. There's been a lot of talk about Antonio Pierce trying to trade up and see if he can get Jaden Daniels. But would Michael Penix be the guy potentially for them at 13?
I could see that. Now, he doesn't fit Luke Getsy's offense of the West Coast, kind of, you know, smash sevens and flats and, you know, all that. He's not a rhythm thrower. I don't think his arm is as often tied to his feet. They would have to reconstruct that. Tom Telesco has, you know, he picked Herbert in the first round when he was there. He would have picked Tua, and he openly says that. He would have picked Tua if Tua would have made it to him. So I think to me, you know, a lot of it depends on the harmony between the coach and the player. I don't think that could ever happen in Las Vegas because Telesco has the authority. Like when they signed Gardner Minshew, I don't think anybody realized that they were signing Gardner Minshew.
There's been a lot of odds movement nationally for the Chargers odds to take a quarterback in the first round. Opened 100-1, 15-1 yesterday. Now you can find anywhere from 9-1 to as low as 6-1 for the Chargers to take a quarterback. So people are trying to make the connection. Jim Harbaugh loves J.J. McCarthy, been hyping him up so much. Could they take J.J. McCarthy?
Not people, the worldwide leader. Mike Tannenbaum started this. Mike Tannenbaum started this from ESPN.
Adam Schefter at ESPN also shut it down this morning as well.
He destroyed it because it makes no sense. Because this isn't something you can do as spur of the moment. You've got guaranteed money in Herbert. You just can't. This isn't trading cards. You know, if you want to get rid of Herbert and you want to pick McCarthy, you've got to orchestrate this along the way, right? You got to orchestrate this along the way. You just can't do this on the phone because you've got guaranteed money. You've got a lot of things going on. So it makes no sense at all on paper. It makes no sense at all in terms of what we've been hearing and how much they love Herbert and how Herbert's bought in and all that. But it's something that, let's face it, you know, it's one of the things. And then the betting numbers move to it. People have actually been stupid enough to bet it. I don't know why they would.
Schefter said, a sucker is born every hour or something like that.
But his own network started it. His own network started it. I mean, Mike Tannenbaum from the former GM, he's the one who started it. He's the one who's putting it out there. And maybe he put it out there because I don't listen to him. Maybe he put it out there as an idea. Hey, maybe they
And then people run with it.
And then people run with it. So, like, it makes no, like, to me, as a football person, it makes no sense. Like, what I said about Kyler Murray was, I wouldn't have played Kyler Murray last year because I wouldn't want to guarantee him. I wouldn't want him to get hurt and then have to guarantee him. The Cardinals made a decision they were going to pay him. Okay, that's great. I wouldn't have done that. But that was logical. This is not logical.
I didn't even ask the question, but it's no, I can't say why not to the Chargers selecting a quarterback with their first round pick. Last one here, final 30 seconds. Could you say why not to the San Francisco 49ers trading Brandon Ayuk tomorrow on draft night?
I could say why not to that. I don't think it's
dagger in my heart.
I've laid it out to everybody.
Who are they trading him for? And if they can't replace him, look, remember this about the Niners, and no one wants to say this, but they don't have vertical outside speed. They're an inside passing game. They need Ayuk to be able to stretch the field outside. They need that badly. If they don't have someone to replace Ayuk, they can't make this deal.
They need something to get over the hump of making the Super Bowl and never winning it.
They need more defensive scheme. That's what they need.
Okay. 49ers sitting at pick 31 in the draft tomorrow. We'll see what ends up happening with or without Brandon Ayuk. That's a wrap for us today. We'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same place. Michael Lombardi in person. Tomorrow's draft day. We're here.
Yes.